الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى ما بعد No one alive on this planet will forget the year 2020. As long as we live, we will remember the year 2020. It is a year that will go down in history. There has been a lot that has been spoken about and written about, and for many hundreds of years to come, not only will people speak and write about, but it will be debated about. What we should focus as Muslims this afternoon is, what lesson do we take from all this? Allah Ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Yusuf, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. In events and happenings, the people of intelligence take lessons. And the people who are not of spiritual intelligence, they debate. They debate minor details, different angles, irregular, irrelevant aspects. The people of intelligence say, what lessons do we take? It's time for us to reflect, to introspect. 2020, what did it give us? What lessons do we take? First is the unlimited, unbridled power of Allah Ta'ala. Today we live in an age where science, medicine and technology is at its peak. Yet one virus which cannot be seen, which cannot even be seen by the naked eye, brought all this world with all its intelligence, all its science, medicine, technology to its knees for over a year. And we're still not out of the woods yet. This is a great lesson that it is only Allah Ta'ala who has the absolute power and control. Allah Ta'ala can take anything and turn it into an army. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُ. Allah Ta'ala can take a virus which we cannot see with the naked eye and humble humanity. All the scientists, doctors, experts and scholars are all humble today. Number two, the lesson we take is about our limited knowledge. The foremost minds when it comes to science, technology and medicine threw their hands up right in the beginning and said, this is a novel virus. We do not know too much about it. We're grappling. We're struggling even now. They don't have a total grip on it. There is a lot of ambiguity, different variants, different mutations. Allah Ta'ala is showing His absolute power, His unlimited knowledge, His infinite knowledge, our limited and restricted knowledge. Number three lesson that we learn is about we plan, Allah Ta'ala plans. Individually, just think back, hit the rewind button in our minds. How many different plans did we have for 2020? Some were going to go for Umrah. Some were going to get married. Some were going to expand the business. Suddenly, abruptly, like a bolt out of nowhere, all of our plans came to zero. وَمَكَرُوا مَكْرًا وَمَكَرْنَا مَكْرًا وَهُمْ لَا يَشُرُونَ وَقَدْ مَكَرُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ. You plan, they plan, everyone plans. But ultimately it is Allah Ta'ala's plan that prevails. Our priority has had to change overnight. What do we learn? We must be flexible in our plans. But you remain loyal to your noble objections. Objectives don't change. Intentions don't change. But we must be flexible because we don't know to what extent Allah Ta'ala will allow our plans to materialize, and to what extent Allah Ta'ala's plan will overwhelm our plans. Number four lesson is that life can change so suddenly and so drastically. Airports, which are a beehive of activity, where you can't find parking, they became like deserted graveyards. Industries that were pumping 24/7 ground to an abrupt halt. Streets, shopping malls that were a hive of activity became deserted during lockdown. Businesses had to be shut overnight. Flourishing enterprises collapsed, never to start again. Then struggling people found opportunity and they flourished. This is the system of Allah Ta'ala. Some people started making masks and they became millionaires. And some people who were in businesses, their businesses collapsed. They were nothing. This is the system of Allah Ta'ala. Suddenly some people's businesses sprung out, and suddenly some people's businesses collapsed. Allah Ta'ala says, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. We take you from the top to the bottom, and sometimes from the bottom to the top. What is the lesson? That life can change so suddenly. The lesson is we need to value each day in our lives. Each day that passes is a day that has gone. It will never return again. Each second that has passed will never come back again. The problem is we fret too much about what happened in the past. We obsessed so much about what could possibly happen in the future, we forget to live, to enjoy, and to appreciate the present. Make the most of every day of our life. Enjoy the cup of tea. Enjoy the cup of coffee. Smell the roses. Smile with your wife. Smile with your children. Smile with your family. Enjoy life. If anything, 2020 should have taught us, don't get caught in the rut, in the rat race of this modern lifestyle. 2020 has taught us life is fragile. We need to have urgency in matters that are important. Matters that are trivial should not be on your scale of priorities. Value each day. Have a schedule. Have a timetable. Have an itinerary. Have a routine, so that not even 1 second of our life gets wasted. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, when he goes for Umrah, we have a schedule. Some people have a schedule, some people are not bothered. That today or every day, this is my routine, how many Quran Sharif rukus, how many paras, how many chapters I need to read. From the time he leaves his hotel room, the hotel can be so close also, but how much time does it take? You have to go to the lift, you have to go to the foyer, you have to walk through the courtyard, and then you go into the haram, and then you find your place. So in that time, from the time he leaves his hotel room, he starts reading his Quran. We think to ourselves that when we reach in the haram, then we'll start. If you don't know the Quran, if you don't know it by memory, we can read any tasbihat, durood sharif, zikr. But these people know that time, every second of life is important. Every second is from Allah Ta'ala. It is a bounty. Allah will hold us accountable. Number five from 2020 is how little we actually need to live our lives. We need to know the difference between needs versus wants. What we want in our life and what is the needs that we need in our lives. What we really need and what the ego and the nafs desires. That's the wants. When we went into lockdown, and now we are, then we realized how little we need in order to survive and to have a decent, comfortable life. There's so much of unnecessary baggage that we carry. There's so little we need to lead a comfortable life. I'm not saying that we have to lead a basic life. There's so little we need to lead a comfortable life. Not just a basic life where you survive. There's so much extra in our life which has made our life cluttered, which has complicated our lives, which has skewed our scale of priorities, sucking out the balance, sucking out the enjoyment, and sucking out the experience of life. We're just chasing and chasing to fulfill our wants, where the needs are already fulfilled. They say we sacrifice our health in the pursuit of wealth, and then if a big is that you are successful, the wealth that you now use, that wealth to restore your health. And this is the irony of life. So needs are more important than the wants. Take weddings. What did the lockdown teach us? That you can get married without having a color scheme, without having a decor, without having a wedding planner, without having a Mendi night, without having 1 week of events prior to the main event, without preparing 6 months before the wedding, without having a lavish wedding hall. The lockdown taught us we can get married in the lockdown also. We don't have to. These are all our desires. These are all our wants. But a basic wedding, a nice wedding, we can have in the lockdown. That's the lockdown lesson that we should take in our life and that we should learn. Number six, that we are more resilient than we realized. We had to make major adaptations. All of a sudden, children are schooling in school. Children who were schooling in school, they're schooling online. The lounge and the dining room of our houses has become an office. All of a sudden, you are not selling what you are accustomed to selling. Travel agents, for example. Tourism, for example. A business, they had to adapt. They had to go into something else to survive. They had to adapt, they had to try other things. Human strength. Allah Ta'ala says, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah says, if I've given you a test, I've also given you the ability to meet the test. You just need some guts, some courage. So humans have this amazing ability to adapt. When there are underlying weaknesses in a community left untreated, then in the moment of crisis, unfortunately, these underlying weaknesses become more problematic on the surface. If there are issues that we did not deal with as a community and we swept it under the carpet in the moment of crisis, it comes to the fold. Then it cripples us. We incline towards the sensational event, even we incline towards the sensational, even if it was fake news. You will struggle to count, even if you have a degree in mathematics, how many WhatsApp muftis and how many WhatsApp doctors graduated in the year 2020. People, ordinary people, were passing by fatwas on WhatsApp on what it means to have tawakkul. Ordinary people, general public, were passing fatwas. What is contagious? La adwa, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every Tom, Dick and Harry started giving the interpretation of that hadith. All of a sudden, WhatsApp doctors, no, it's harmful to wear your mask. You breathing out carbon dioxide. Really? Really? The general public, you study 6 years of medication to pronounce, to give your verdict? People were not only circulating, but they were starting to believe that which had no sanad, which had no chain of narration, no authenticity. We see one clip on the harms. We see one clip on the harms of something. We forward it. You believe it. You don't know what the speaker, who the speaker is. You don't know what are his qualifications. You don't know where he's graduated from. You don't know who produced the clip. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going to go. But we'll spread it because it's sensational. Because it's sensational. It is an underlying problem in our community, especially in the Muslim community. It became more pronounced in 2020. No substance to most of the theories. There was no logic to it. We don't take no precaution. I have tawakkul. People say, why do we have to wear masks? Why do we have to take precautions? I have tawakkul. So why are you locking your door at home when you go to sleep at night? Why are you taking insulin because you have diabetes? You have tawakkul. Why you take tablets for headache? Where is the logic? Some people said nothing bad can happen in the masjid. Where was Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu assassinated? On the musalla of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where did the Bedouin urinate? In the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The low ebb to which the discussion and the debate has degenerated in our community today. We overcomplicated issues that were simple. Take another issue now that we're talking about, vaccines. I'm not going to give any fatwa, but I'm just talking generally, vaccines. Why do we overcomplicate things? Respect every profession. Stay in your lane. Did all of our leaders overnight go morally bankrupt that we no longer trust them now? All the doctors that we trusted with much more complicated issues, now all of a sudden we want to doubt them because I'm a WhatsApp mufti, I'm a WhatsApp doctor. Vaccines, the ulama have done their job. They have told you that there is no haram. There is nothing haram in the vaccine. Now the doctor that you trust for the whole of your life, in more important issues than this, you go to your Muslim doctor, you ask him, that doctor, is this vaccine good for me or not? If you trust your doctor, take the vaccine. If you don't trust your doctor, if you're not comfortable, don't take it. Why are you complicating issues? Why are you forwarding all fake news and theories on the WhatsApp? And now all of a sudden you become a mufti and all of a sudden you become a doctor and a surgeon. Number 8. 2020 showed us the best of humanity. We saw the best of humanity in the lockdown when people dug deep into their pockets and made sure that those who live hand to mouth were fed. We saw the best of humanity when our doctors, when our nurses, when our paramedics put their lives at risk every single day by treating those patients who have COVID. Imagine what goes through their minds when they're in the hospital, when they're in the surgery. What goes through their minds? And when they deal with how many patients, then they're going to come back home where their wife and children and family are at risk because of the work that they're doing out. All those who are on the front line, those who are ready to give ghusl, who pass away with COVID. Our youngsters, alhamdulillah, in the Batli Muslim community, the youngsters, day and night, they are ready. Whenever a phone call comes, Haji Sahab also, so when somebody passes away at night, sometimes the phone rings at midnight. A person is in deep sleep. Do we appreciate the khidmat of these people? We just say, Jazakallah, thank you very much. Chalo, there you come, Boharo. Or we'll just put a message on WhatsApp, thank you for your services, Jazakallah. That's not appreciation, my brothers. That's not showing true appreciation. Sometimes in the middle of the night, sometimes it can be Ramadan, sometimes it can be Eid day, sometimes there is a wedding in the family and the phone comes. And our brothers, our volunteers, without any money, without getting paid, without any monetary, nothing, they give their service. For how many years now they give in their service? They are the hidden gems of our community. Transporting the body from the hospital to the madrasa, to the ghusl place. All the paperwork. Then the ghusl, then the shrouding, arranging the grave. All voluntary, offering their time, effort, dedication, without any monetary gain. This is khidmat. At least we should give du'as to them. At least we should show appreciation. Our restaurants, they say we give in free milkshakes or free meals to nurses and so on. So what about our youngsters who are doing all this khidmat in the Muslim? These are all Muslim restaurants and takeaways, giving free meals or free whatever. Why don't we appreciate these youngsters also? Why don't we come forward and appreciate the hidden gems of our Muslim community? Let me conclude by saying 2020 has taught us to appreciate what we have, not to obsess over what we don't have. If you have a job, consider yourself lucky. If you have a good health, consider yourself lucky today. If you have a family, consider yourself lucky. How many people in one family were wiped because of the pandemic? Prioritize our life. prioritize the right things in our life, work on our iman, work on our spirituality. Let us all this COVID 2020, which has gone, bring us closer to Allah Ta'ala. Increase in our tawbah, increase in our du'as, increase in our sadaqah. And we lack emotional intelligence. Develop emotional intelligence. That's why we don't know how to manage our differences. We react, we don't respond. Learn to keep silence. While silence is not always golden, but in the time when there is polarization in the community, silence is a great thing that we need to do. We don't have to get involved in every debate. The only certainty is death. Akhirah is the only certainty. Life is short. The only constant is change. And 2020 has showed us change can happen very suddenly, very abruptly. Let this COVID-19 be a test that we passed and come closer to Allah Ta'ala, not a test that we failed because we did not improve or because we became worse. Have I become a better Muslim after all of this? Have we become better Muslims? If we haven't, then this third wave is not there for a third round of debate. It is a third knock on the door and the opportunity to get our affairs in order. Allah Ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq. Up from there.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Hayy al-salam. Hayy al-salam. Hayy al-falah. Hayy al-falah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Allahumma rabba hadhihi ad-da'wati at-tammati was-salati al-qa'imati ala
Just an announcement. A big thank you from the committee to everyone who has been following guidelines over the last 9 months. As we all know from the news, there is now a new strain of the COVID-19, which is more contagious, and for this reason, and the increase in numbers, the government has introduced a new national lockdown. So all Musallis need to strictly follow the guidelines when attending the masjid. Maintain social distance at all times, inside, outside also. Use hand sanitizer when entering, leaving the masjid. Wear a mask at all times, which covers your nose and mouth. Bring your own prayer mat and make wuzu at home. After Faraz Salah, stay in the same place to pray your sunnats and nafals. And masjid will open 15 minutes before each salah and close 15 minutes after the Faraz, after each salah. Again, another thank you for all your cooperation over the last 9 months, and we fully understand it has not been easy. We all make dua that the situation improves and we get back to normal as soon as possible. Inshallah, from tomorrow, Asr Namaz will be remain the same time, which is 3 o'clock. Another request has come from the Kirklees Council that people who are going to the graveyard are throwing food on the graves. And because of that, cats come in, and then there are foxes come in, rats are coming, and because of the rats, the foxes are coming and digging up the graves. So if everybody, and we tell our women folk listening at home also, can we please not do this? Can we please appreciate what the council is letting us do in the Muslim cemetery? So can we please refrain from leaving any sort of food items in the graveyard? Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Hayya 'alas-salah. Hayya 'alas-salah. حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله القاهر ذي البطش الشديد لا من جاء من غضبه وإقابه إلا بفضله المزيد أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه أما بعد فيا معشر الإخوان اعلموا أن من آداب المعاشرة الإسلامية تهذيب النفوس وتزكيتها من الحسد والعداوة وتحليتها بكزم الغيظ والعفو عند القدرة وقد روي أن رجلا قال يا رسول الله مرني بعمل وأقلل قال لا تغضب وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام لا تحاسدوا ولا تباغضوا ولا تدابروا وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين الذين ينفقون في السراء والضراء والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي أرسل بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر، وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر، وأصدقهم حياء عثمان، وأقضاهم علي، وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة، والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة، وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. اللهم اغفر للعباس وولديه مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا. الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي، فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم، وخير أمتي قرني، ثم الذين يلونهم، ثم الذين يلونهم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين في كل مكان، اللهم ادفع عنا البلاء والوباء. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار، وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار، يا عزيز يا غفار. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن، اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من فتنة المحيا والممات، ومن فتنة المسيح الدجال، اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من البرص والجنون والجذام ومن سيء الأسقام. اللهم فرج هم المهمومين من المسلمين، ونفس كرب المكروبين، واقض الدين عن المدينين، واشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين، وارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين. واغفر اللهم لجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، الأحياء منهم والأموات، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. والحمد لله رب العالمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى، وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي، يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروني أذكركم، واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض، وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله، فيغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء، والله على كل شيء قدير. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون، كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله، لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله، وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا، غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله استغفر الله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم انت السلام عيننا على ذكرك بجلي وقيم اللهم سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا برحمتك